Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shlomo Nyman le'ilui nishmas HaRav Yaakov ben Matisyahu.
Pesachim Daf Pei Hei. The Gemara is discussing the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which we learned on Daf Pei Dalan Rebeis, about an Eivor she'ein olav kezayis basar b'makam zeh v'yesh olav kezayis basar b'makam acher. According to Reish Lakish, it does not have an Isser Shvirah Etzim because you need to have a Shir Achilu B'makam Shvirah. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is an Isser Shvirah Etzim because at least the Eiver has a Kazayis Basar on it. Rabbi Yochanan tries to prove from a Braisa that says, Ve'etzim le'sishbru boy, echad etzim she'yesha lov kezayis basar, ve'echad etzim she'enu lov kezayis basar. What does it mean that you have an iser shviris etzim by an etzim she'enu lov kezayis basar? Can't be that there's bechlal not a kezayis basar, because that, everybody agrees, that is does not have an iser shviris etzim. So Rabbi Yochanan suggests that we must be talking about a eiver that has a kezayis basar b'makam zeh, but not in another place, and the place where you're breaking it still has an Isser Shviris Etzem, even if there's no Kazayis Basar in that particular place. Reish Lakish responds by saying that that doesn't have to be the Pshat in the Braisa, because the words Echad Etzem Sheyesh Lov Kazayis Basar Ve'echad Etzem She'ena Lov Kazayis Basar could be read, says Reish Lakish, Echad Etzem that has a Kazayis Basar outside the Etzem, and Echad Etzem She'ena Lov Kazayis Basar Mibachutz, it doesn't have a Kazayis Basar outside of meat, it has a Kazayis inside, meaning the marrow. And to this effect, Rabbi Shlokesh brings a raya from a braisa. The braisa says, "The etzem leisishru boy, echad etzem sheyesh boy mayach, ve'echad etzem she'ein boy mayach." That there's an iser shviras etzem whether the etzem has mayach marrow inside, and echad etzem she'ein boy mayach. Explains the braisa. If you tell me that all atzamas have an iser of shviras etzem, even if there's a kezayis of mayach inside the etzem, mani mekayim v'achlus habasar b'layla hazeh. How am I going to mekayim the pasuk that says that you're supposed to eat the basar of the Karban Pesach? Says the braisa, v'basar she'al gabi ha'etzem. You do not have a chiv to eat the basar that's inside the etzem. Rather, you have a chiv to eat the basar that's outside the etzem. Continues the braisa, oy enoy ela b'basar shebesoicha etzem. Maybe we should say that the mitzvah to eat the basar of the Karban Pesach includes the basar that's inside the etzem, the marrow. Umani mekayim v'etzem le'sishbur boy. And if that's the case, you have a mitzvah to eat the marrow that's inside the etzem. So then, how are we mekayim the pasuk that says you're not allowed to break atzamas, meaning you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah to eat basar that's inside the etzem unless you break the etzem. The braisa answers, be'etzem she'en boy mayach. Perhaps we'll say that the iser to break atzamas is only by an etzem that doesn't have marrow inside. Avol be'etzem she'esh boy mayach shoyver v'oichel. And don't wonder, says the braisa, how would I be able to tell you that you should break atzamas in order to eat the marrow? Sharei yovei asev yitcholoi sasei. The mitzvah saseh of Achilas Pesach will be doicha the lav of Shviras Etzem. So the braisa is telling us that we don't know which way to go. On the one hand, we could say that the lav of Shviras Etzem includes atzameis sheyesh behem moyach, and then we would automatically have to assume that the mitzvah of Achilas Pesach only goes on the basar that's outside the Etzem. On the other hand, we could say that the mitzvah of eating the basar, the Pesach, goes on basar even that's inside the Etzem, and there's a din of asei doichalois asei telling me that you're allowed to break the bone in order to get to that moyach. So the braisa brings another pasuk, ve'etzem le'yishbru boy, that says Pesach Sheni, and since it's an extra pasuk, because the Torah already says that you're supposed to do everything in the Pesach Sheni that you do in the Pesach Rishon, k'chukas ha'Pesach yasu oisai, so it's obviously coming to be married by something else. So it says the braisa, ha'v'yomer echad etzem she'yesh b'moich, ve'echad etzem she'en b'moich. It's coming to tell me that we shouldn't use the svar of esei doichalois asei and be matir, breaking the etzem in order to eat the moich that's inside. Tosfos in Dibra Maskul Kishu Oimer ve'etzem le'yishbru boy asks two questions. Number one, Tosfos asks, why do you need a limud not to say esei doichalois asei over here? Usually we say the rule of esei doichalois asei only applies when it's be'idna, when at the time you're being over the lois asei, you're being mekayim the asei. Over here, you're being mekayim the asei after you break it open, because that's when you're going to eat the basar that's inside. But the breaking, which is the iser of the lois asei, the ve'etzem le'sishbru boy, is something that you're not being mekayim and asei while you're doing it. In the Piskei HaTosfos and Zvachim, Simen Samach Tes, they say yisoid, that if it's impossible to be mekayim the asei, unless you're oiker the lav, the asay is still doicha the lav, even though the kiyam of the asay is not happening be'idna, that you are being doicha the lois asay. meaning that the Aveira of the Lava is essential in order for me to be Mekayim the Aseh. Since there's no way for me to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Aseh of eating the Basar unless I'm over the Lava, I have the right to be over the Lava, although I'm not being Mekayim the Aseh at that very moment. The Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Korban Pesach, Perach Yud Halacha Aleph, brings down this Piskei HaToisvus, but says that it's a very big Chiddush. Now, I'm going to explain the Chiddush of the Piskei HaToisvus, the Turiyevin, Chagiga, and the Baruch Tam in Zvachim, that anytime you have a pa'ula that is necessary in order for you to mekayim your aseh, even though that pa'ula is not the actual kima of the aseh, nevertheless, since that pa'ula is essential for me in order to ultimately be mekayim the aseh, it's considered a hechsher mitzvah and it's part of what is doicha the lois aseh. And that would be called be'idna. Be'idna deka me'akar lab, mekayim aseh, although generally speaking requires that I be mekayim the aseh b'shas when I'm over the lab. However, if what I'm doing is a hechsher for the mitzvah, is something that's necessary for the mitzvah, that also is called be'idna. It's considered that b'shas when I'm over the lav, I'm mekayim da'aseh, because it's a chelik of being mekayim da'aseh. Now, this is because the way that they explain it, the Turi Evan and the Baruch Tam, is that the parts of the mitzvah that are essential to the mitzvah are considered a chelik of the mitzvah, so much so that the Baruch Tam wants to be mechadish something lahalacha based on this. He brings down the Trumas Hadeshin and Simon Kuf Beis, who says, like the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, what happens if a person lit Ner Chanukah on Erev Shabbos, and the Ner Chanukah went out before Kabbalah Shabbos? Says the Trumas Hadeshin, you're not mechuyiv to be misakin it, the maisa that you did, of lighting the Ner Chanukah, with that you are mekayim your mitzvah. Even though the mitzvah hasn't really begun yet, because the mitzvah's Ner Chanukah is from the end of Shkiyas HaChama, nevertheless, since you're mevarich, you say the bruch of Asher Kidshanu b'mitzvois v'tzivonu l'hadlik Ner Chanukah, even though the mitzvah hasn't yet begun, you see a yisoid, that since it's impossible to be mekayim the mitzvah unless you do this pe'ula, that is called a hechsher mitzvah, and with that we could say you're mekayim your mitzvah. So he wants to say the same yisoid legabe esei doicheloi sasei. Since it's impossible to be mekayim the mitzvah of achila unless you break the etzem, the breaking of the etzem could go into the gether of the mitzvahs asei and allow for a dechia of the mitzvahs lois asei. Now, his raya is not a very convincing raya, because it's true that by Ner Chanukah we consider the lighting as being the mitzvah the Chazal told you to do, but that could be that since you cannot light it on Shabbos, this is the action they told you to do to be in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. And since we paskin that kavsa ein zokukla, as soon as a person does the pa'ula that Chazal told him to do, he no longer has to do anything else to ensure that it stay lit. So he did his chelik, he did the part that he was asked to do. But over here we know that the chelik that the Torah told you to do is the actual achilas basar. It wasn't the preparation, the breaking of the etzim that the Torah told you to do. So to be medame to over there is not so simple. The Turi Evan in Chagiga Daf Beis Mebeis brings another raya. He says that we know that one of the examples of Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh is Kalayim B'Tzitzis. The Mitzis Aseh of Tzitzis is Doicha the Lois Aseh of Kalayim. Now he says that the Lois Aseh of Kalayim, you're over B'Shas the Ituf. B'Shas when you're being Loivesh, the Beged Shal Kalayim. Masha Enkein, the Mitzis Aseh of Tzitzis, you're only Mekayim after you're already Nis'atev. Because the Halacha is that you have to put Gedilim onto a Beged that you're wearing. So how do you have the right to do the Maisa of Ituf, to be loivish to beg it? At that point, you're not yet mekayim the mitzvah. Says the Shagatsariya that the only way that you could be mekayim the mitzvah asay is al yidei, first doing the maisa ituf. We therefore say that it's doicha the law because it's a necessary component in being mekayim your mitzvah. Another possible approach to explain the Piskei HaToisvus that are telling us that when something is essential in order to be mekayim a mitzvah asay, it is included in the din d'chiyah, could be not based on the idea that these achrenim are saying, which is that the hechsher, the step that you need to do in order to get to the asay, is considered part of the mitzvah and therefore it's doicha. Rather, we could say a different yisoid, and this is based on something that Rabbi Chanan says in the Kovitz Ha'aris Simon Yud Dalet, and he explains over there that it's machlokes rishonim. The question is, when we talk about asay being doicha lois asay, we have to ask, what is doicha the lois asay? Is it the kiyum of the asay which is doicha the lois asay? Or is it the assay's need not to be nisbato? The first tzad is that the assay is doicha de lois assay in order for it to be niskayim. As long as you know that you're going to have a kiyum of the assay is doicha de lois assay. The second tzad is that the assay is not doicha de lois assay in order for it to be niskayim. Rather, the assay is doicha de lois assay kidei shaloi yisbato. And that means that as long as there's a lois assay causing the bittul of an assay, we tell you not to listen to that lois assay in order that the assay should not be nisbatel. Now over there, Rabbi Chanan is talking about the question as to when you have a mitzvah assay that will not be nisbatel, but it will not be niskayim. Is there a din dechia or not? So if you say that the assay is doichel lois assay in order for it to be niskayim, then you would say dechia in that case. And if you say that you only say assay doichel lois assay in order for the assay not to be nisbatel, so as long as it's not going to be nisbatel, you don't have a dechia. The case that he's discussing over there is when a kayin sees an aveda in a beis hakvaris. So the Gemara says in Eilu Metzias and the Flamed that he is no mitzvah because the iser of a kayin to be mitami is an assay and a lois assay. So an assay, the assay of hashavas aveda is not doicha a lois assay and an assay. The Ramban and the Ran discuss why do you need to say that the reason why he's not allowed to go into the beis hakvaris is because the iser to go into the beis hakvaris is an assay and a lois assay. Even if it would be a regular lois assay, we still wouldn't tell you to go and be metame. And that's because he's not yet chayiv, says the Ramban, in his mitzvah of hashavas aveda until he does akbah, until he picks it up. And the Ramban says basically that it doesn't make a difference because although the assay will not be nisbatel, because if he stays outside the Beis HaKvaris, there will not be a bitl of the assay because he's not chayiv until he actually picks it up. Nevertheless, there's still a din to become nischayiv in the assay in order to be mekayim the assay, and that way you could be doicha the lois assay. The Ran argues and he holds that that's not true. What's doicha is not the kiyum of the assay. If you know that the assay will not be nischayiv, but it won't be nisbato, such as in that case where you haven't yet become nischayiv in the assay, then you have no right to be mevato the lois assay. So the way the Rabbi Chanan explains the shita of the Ran is that it's not the kiyum of the assay which is doicha de lois assay. Rather, any time an assay will become nisbatel, we do away with the lav that's causing it to be nisbatel. So by the same token, we could say that if by listening to the lois assay of etzem lois ishbru, it will turn out that the assay of achilas basar pesach will become nisbatel, we still say assay doicha lois assay. Because any time listening to a lois assay will be at the expense of an assay, we do not listen to that lois assay. And so these are two different ways to understand the din of Be'idna. The way that the Turi Evan and the Baruch Tam are understanding the Yisoid of Be'idna is that any time I'm practically being Mekayim a Mitzvah Saseh, I have the right to do that at the expense of a Lois Saseh. Therefore they say that the only way to understand the Piskei HaTosfos is to assume that this act is also considered the Kiyum of an Aseh. Because the rule of Aseh Doich Lois Saseh is you could listen to an Aseh, do it, even at the expense of a Lois Saseh. But for that, it has to be considered like I'm doing an assay. So they say that a hechsher is also considered like I'm doing the assay. This new understanding, based on Rabbi Chanan, is the exact opposite. It's not that I'm allowed to do the act of an assay at the expense of a lois assay. Rather, any time a lois assay is telling me not to do something at the expense of an assay, I don't listen to that lois assay. So that's why it doesn't matter if the thing that I'm doing now, namely the shvir of the etzem, is a kiyum of the assay or not. Because even if it's not a kiyum, if it's essential in order to be mekayim the assay, then it comes out that the lois assay is telling me don't be mekayim the assay. The lois assay is asking me to be mevatel the assay because it's telling me to refrain from one of the essential elements in the kiyum of the assay. So according to both his beirim, the reason why the etzem lois ishbruba is something that you would say assay doicha lois assay is because the etzem lois ishbruba is essential. You need it in order to mekayim your assay. The question is, does that render it a cheluk of the assay, and that's why there's a dechia, because the act of the shvira is now considered part of the mitzvah assay, or you don't even have to say that lefira b'chanan, you could say, like we're saying, that it's not as if the maisa shvira is a cheluk of the maisa mitzvah, and it's not as if the shvira itself has the koyach to be doiche the lois assay. Rather, we just won't listen to the lois assay when it's telling me not to do something which is necessary in order for my assay not to be nisbatel. The case where the Gemara says that there is a chsarn of be'itna is like in Perek Belezer de Mila, where it says that a person who's a kohen is not allowed to cut off a tzaras that he has. It's allowed to cut off a nega tzaras, and he's not allowed to do that in order that he should be able to do the avoida. We don't say that doing the avoida is doicha, the iser of cutting off the nega tzaras. The Gemara says the reason why we don't say that is because it's not be'idna. What the Gemara means, according to both Hezbeirim that we just gave, is that since it's not essential in order to do the avoida always to cut off a negatzaras, it's not something that it's always necessary to do in order to facilitate being mekayim the din avoida. So according to the Turi Even and the Baruch Tam, we cannot look at cutting off the negatzaras as being a chaluk of your maisa mitzvah of the avoida. And that's why it's not doicha. That's what we mean when we say it's not be'idna. It's not at the same time. And according to our Hezber, you could also say that it's not as if the lav of cutting off a neged tzaras is directly telling me, don't do the avoida. By the mitzvah of the etzem le'sish b'ruboy, if it goes on a etzem sheyesh by moyach, so this lois asay is directly telling me, don't be mekayim your asay. The lois asay is asking for the asay to be nisbatel. In the case over there, when we say it's not be'idna, what we mean is that it's not as if the Lois HaSeh is actually asking me not to be Mekayim the Aseh. It happens to be that the two of them were Nizdamna Lepundek Echad. The two of them are now in the same scenario, so it comes out that if I do listen to the Lois HaSeh, I'll end up not being Mekayim the Aseh. But since the Lois HaSeh is not asking me to be Mevatel the Aseh, so we don't say the Klal of Aseh Doich Lois HaSeh. Obviously, the Nafkamina between the two Hezbeirim would be things like Brachas. The Baruch Tam is mentioning that anytime you have something that you cannot be Mekayim the Aseh without it, even though it's only a hechsher, you make a bracha. And that's why he explains you make a bracha on Erev Shabbos, although you are not yet being mekayim the mitzvahs aseh, because it says it's all part of the same yisoid. Anything that's essential for the kiyum of the aseh is considered a chiluk of the ma'aseh mitzvah. According to our Hezber, we see no such yisoid over here, because the yisoid of the Piskei HaTosfos is not that something that's essential for the kiyum of the aseh is considered a part of the aseh. Rather, when you're doing away with something that's essential for the aseh, and thereby my aseh is going to be nisbatel, then you don't listen to the lav. Tosfos continues, V'oid kashal arashba, d'hacha efshal kaim shteim ayidei gumrasa. How can we say the klal of asei doicha lois asei and the lav of shviris etzem, which should be doicha because you have to be mekayim the mitzvah of eating the basar that's inside that tzamis? The rule is that we never say asei doicha lois asei when it's efshel kaim shneim. If you can be mekayim the lav and the asei, then you're not doicha the lav. How is it efshel kaim shneim? Because you could take a coal, burn the etzem, and thereby you could get to the marrow that's inside the etzem. And one who burns an etzem is not over the lav of shviris etzem. Tosfos brings down a teretz from the Rabbeinu Chaim that according to Rava, who explained in the sugya earlier on the Pedalarim and Beis, that gumrusa, using a gachelis, a coal, on atzamis, is aser mishum hefsid kodshim osi shapir. What Tosfos means is that over there in Pedalarim and Beis, we had two shitas, Abaya and Rava. Abaya said the reason why you're not allowed to use a gumrusa is because we're afraid that it's going to cause another part of the etzem to become cracked. So although the actual sreifa is not an isser of shviris etzem, nevertheless, the break that you're causing in the other area on the etzem is an isser of shviris etzem. Rav, on the other hand, said that the reason why you can't use a gachelis on an etzem is because of hefsid kachim. And he says, the kamafsid le biyadayim, dilma achil nura, maybe the fire will consume, mimoyach didei, will consume part of the marrow. And since the marrow is considered basar kachim, you're being mafsid kachim. Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Lekach Toiv, Klal Ches Ois Yud Beis, asks on Tosfos, how does this answer the question? Even Rava, who said before that you're not allowed to put a gumrusa onto a bone because of hefsid kodshim, it's clear from the Gemara earlier that that's only a gzeira d'rabbanan. We're worried that perhaps you may be mafsid kodshim. We don't know for sure that it's going to burn part of the moyach. And since it's only a chshash d'rabbanan, midai raisa, it would be mutter to take a gumrusa and put it on. So if it's mutter midai raisa to put a gumrusa and then to get the moyach out, then it's still efshel l'kayim shneim. So how did Tosfos answer their question? So in truth, and Rabbi Yosef Engel really points this out. If you take a look over here in the Hagoy Sabach, he says in Ois Beis, right over here on the Tosfos, he explains that Tosfos doesn't mean to use Rava's Shita entirely. Tosfos means Hai Suga Svirle, Hai Taima Mishum Hefsid Kachim. It holds like the reason of Hefsid Kachim, but Avaloika Rava, not fully like Rava. The Ka'amar Dilma Achel Nura, El Svirle Deika Vade Hefsid Kachim. Our Suga is in disagreement with Rava. Rava said it as a Chashtra Abonin. perhaps you may be mafsid kachim. Our sugya holds that every time a person puts a gumrisa, every time a person uses a gacheles on an etzim, he will inevitably burn some of the moyach. And in truth, this svara appears in Tosfos in Zvachim, daf tzadik zayinam abeis, the ramaschal ve'echad. Tosfos says over there, I efshir shlo yisrif ha-gumrisa ma'at min ha-moyach shebifnim. But it's impossible, according to our sugya, it's impossible for the gumrisa not to burn some of the moich, so you inevitably will be over the isra of hefsid kachim. And Tosfos even adds, v'afilo abaye shemefare shasim shempake, even according to abaye holds that the isra is because you're going to cause a crack in some other part of the bone, lavishim despirle the gumrisa efshir beloyser efis moich. It's not that he argues in metzias and he holds that it's possible to avoid burning some of the moich. Ela kasavar de mishem hefsid kachim muid kaze. And Baya holds that a small amount of hefsid kachim is not something that we're concerned about. So if you learn that what Tosfos means is that there's vade going to be hefsid kachim, then that would answer their question. However, Rabbi Yosef Engel wants to give a different teretz to explain Tosfos, even based on the assumption that there's no inevitable hefsid kachim going on. It's not as if we know for sure that the gumrisa will cause some of the moyach to be nifsad. Rather, it's a chshash. Even so, Tosfos still has an answer to their question. How so? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel that there's a din that in Kodshim you have to make sure that it remains intact, and that's learned from a pasuk Mishmeres Trumoisai. In Rashi in Chulin daf Beis Mebeis, it's mavur that the Isser Mishmeres Trumoisai, which does refer to Truma, also refers to Kodshim. Now, generally speaking, this is understood to be a limud that you have to make sure that it does not come Lidei Tumah. However, Rabbi Yosef Engel understands that included in this Isser is the din that you have to make sure that it doesn't become Nifsad. And therefore, even if you put it in a position where it's possible that it will become Nifsad, that is not being Mekayim, your mitzvah Mishmeres Trumoisai. So it makes no difference that it's only a chshash that it may become nifsad. Even if we don't know that inevitably it will become nifsad through the gumrisa, it's still not efshel l'kayim shneim, because midairaisa it would be also for me to put the gumrisa here because it is making it vulnerable to a possible hefsid kachim. And that is a violation of the din of Mishmeres Trumoisai. Mishmeres Trumoisai tells me that I have to make sure that it remains shamur, and that means that it's not even in a position where it could become nifsad. From the very fact that the Gemara wants to say, asei doich alois asei, that the mitzvah of achilas karben pesach should be doich the lav of shviras etzem, says the Shagas Aryeh in Siman Tzadik Vav, that this proves that the mitzvah to eat the karben pesach, v'ochlus abosar balayla hazeh, is a mitzvah to eat all of the besara pesach, not only a kezayis of the besara pesach. Because if the mitzvah is only that a person is mechuyev to eat a kezayis of the besara pesach, then we have no right to be doicha the loisei of shviras etzem. You're mekayim your asei with the rest of the kezayisim, with the part of the meat that's outside the bone. The minchas chinuch, a mitzvah kufla medalid, ois beis, brings the Shagas Aryeh. And he brings the raya that we just mentioned from our Gemara. Says the Minchas Chinuch, v'eini maven, I don't understand the raya. The kushas ashas gabi pesach, the whole question the Gemara is asking is the stomach sieve. It's the pasuk is written ve'etzen lo sishbru. Afilu b'em ein kezayis le'ish echad, rakam amoyach. He says, suppose there's only one kezayis of basar in the entire carbon that's edible, and that kezayis happens to be inside the bone. In such a scenario, the Gemara is asking, le'si aseh v'lidchi lo isaseh. But ein echanami, if there's other available basar, and you can be mekayim your mitzvah zachilas carbon pesach with basar that's outside the bone, the Gemara never would have been asking that you should be able to be doicha the loisaseh. So we have a machloikas to Shagasari and the Minchas Chinuch whether the mitzvah of achlus abasar balayla hazeh goes on all of the besara pesach or only on a kezayis. The Biskarov in Zvachim over there in Tzadik Zayinu Beis also assumes like the Minchas Chinuch that the mitzvah of achlus abasar balayla hazeh is only a mitzvah on the first kezayis. And he obviously did not think of the scenario that the Minchas Chinuch says that the Gemara could be talking about a case where the only kezayis that's available is inside the bone. And therefore he asks on Rashi. When Rashi explains the Gemara of leisi asei v'lutchi lois asei, Rashi explains that we're talking about the asei of achlus abasar balayla hazeh. Asks the Brisker Rav, how could Rashi say we're talking about that mitzvah of achlus abasar? That mitzvah only applies to the first kezayis. Once the first person finishes eating the first kezayis, he no longer has a mitzvah. So you can mekayim that mitzvah with the rest of the basar. He said Rashi should have better explained the Gemara to be referring to a different mitzvah, not the mitzvah aseh of achlus abasar balayla hazeh, rather the regular din of the mitzvah achilas kodshim. Every carbon has a mitzvah that you should make sure that it becomes nechal. And that's learned out from the pasuk of achlu asam asher kupor behem. And if Rashi would have said that the mitzvah aseh we're dealing with in our sugya is v'achlu asam asher kupor behem, we would understand. Because the mitzvah of achilas basar of the Korban Pesach is something that you're mekayim with the first kezayis. The other mitzvah is something that you have in with the entire korban. Now, this is an interesting thing, because the Minchas Chinuch points out, in the same piece, that the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim is something which also only applies to the first Kezias, just like the mitzvah of Achilas Pesach. After you finish with the first Kezias, then there's a mitzvah to make sure that it doesn't come L'day Noiser, but that is a mitzvah that you could accomplish by giving it to Ketanim. Now it happens to be that the Beis Halevi, in Chelik Aleph, Simon Gimel, says that the whole mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim is a mitzvah to make sure that it does not come L'day Noiser. It's only by Karban Pesach that there's a mitzvah on the Gavra to do a Maisa Achila. So whether the Brisker Rav learned, like his grandfather, the Beis Halevi, that the entire mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim that you have by all other Kodshim besides Karban Pesach is only a mitzvah to make sure it doesn't come L'day Noiser. Or he learned like the Minchas Chinuch that there is a mitzvah to eat the first Kezias, but the rest of it is only a Chiyuv to make sure that it doesn't come L'day Noiser. We have to understand, how does he expect us to understand the idea of Asei Doich Alois Asei if there's no real Chiyuv for the Gavra to eat every single Kezias in the Karban Pesach? The mitzvah of Achilas Psachim, he says, is only with the first Kezias. The mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim is a mitzvah to eat the entire carbon, but again, that's only a chiyuv that to make sure that it doesn't come L'day Noiser. How could a mitzvah like that be doicha the lav? Like the Michas Chinuch Tainas, the lav cannot be nitcha by an assay that you could be mekayim al yidei giving it to ketanim. It must be that the Brisker Rav holds that although it's possible to get out of the mitzvah by giving it to ketanim, nevertheless, you're mekayim a mitzvah when you eat it, and he holds that the din of esei doicha lois assay is said even by a mitzvah kiyumis. You need not have a mitzvah chiyuvis that demands that you do a certain pu'ula. Rather, as long as the ma'isa that you're doing is a kiyum mitzvah, it's also doicha lois assay. Rabbi Chanan in the Kovitz Ha'aris in Simon Tes talks about this shaila, whether a mitzvah kiyumis is doicha as well. What is this dependent on? The shaila that we mentioned earlier as to what is it that's doicha the lois assay. Is it the kiyum of the mitzvah assay that's doicha lois assay because the kiyum of an assay is more chashuv than a lois assay? Or is it the need for the assay not to be nizbatel? Because when you have a mitzvah kiyumis, there's not going to be a bitul mitzvah assay. If you give it to ketanim, the assay will not be nizbatel, yet you won't have a kiyum. So the question is, what is the thing that's doicha? So if you hold like the Tzad and Rabbi Chanan, that it's the Kiyum that's doicha, the way we explained the Shita Saramban earlier, the Kiyum is doicha. Rabbi Chanan even brings a raya. He says that we know that Kalayim B'Tzitzis is doicha, the loisasei of Shatnes, that when you're wearing tzitzis on a linen beged, you're supposed to put tcheles, and that's doicha, the loisasei. He says, theoretically, I could make sure the assay is not in his battle. I could round off one of the corners of my beged, and then it won't be chayiv to put on tzitzis bechlal. So that's his raya, that it's the kiyum that's doicha, not the e-bittel, not the lack of bittel, the need for the assay not to become his battle. In any case, if you learn that way, then the Brisker Rav makes sense, because it's true that you could get out of it. You can give it to ketanim. But that's like rounding a corner of one of the four corners of the beged, making yourself not be chayiv. I could get out of the mitzvah, but I could still be mekayim the mitzvah. Since every bite, every kezias that you eat is a new kiyum of the mitzvah, it's capable of being doicha the lois assay. The Gemara says, Tanan hasam, ha-pigul va-noiser metamenes ha-yadayim. There's a special dinder abonan that pigul and noiser are metamenes ha-yadayim. The Gemara explains, where does this takana come from? Rav Huna Rav Chizda, chad amar pnei chashadei kahuna, that we're worried about certain kehanim that perhaps they'll be jealous of the balakarbon, they don't like the balakarbon, and therefore they're going to want to ruin him, and they'll be mefagal the carbon on purpose. So Chazal were goizer on pigul that it should be metamenes ha-yadayim, since people were very careful about tumah, and they would not really want their yadayim to become tamei, because it's going to cause that they have to be toivel their yadayim before touching kodesh, and that's a tircha, so they're not going to want to do that. Now, it's just not worth it for people to be mefagel karbonis. Because there are certain kahanim that were lazy. They're lazy, they won't eat the kachim on time, and if we tell them that noiser, the kachim is left over night, it becomes mitame seyadayim, they're going to be more careful about eating it on time. Now, we have to ask the following question. If somebody's going to mefagel the carbon, how is it going to be mitame seyadayim? Only because at the time that the person's touching the carbon, like for example, b'shas shchita, it'll be mitame seyadayim. The question is, that we already learned in Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph that there's a rule called ein tumas seyadayim b'mikdush. So how could his yadayim become tamei from this pigle if he's in the Beis HaMikdash? Now back then on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, we explained that there's a machlokes rishonim, there's a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, what does it mean, ein tumas yadayim b'mikdash? According to Rashi, ein tumas yadayim b'mikdash means that if a person touched something that's Tameh in the Beis HaMikdash, his Yadayim do not become Tameh, and even if he now goes outside the Beis HaMikdash and touches Tyrus, those Tyrus don't become Tameh. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds the exact opposite, that if a person were to touch something Tameh outside the Mikdash and then come into the Beis HaMikdash and touch Tyrus, that's when we say the Klal of Ein Tumas Yadayim B'Mikdash. However, if a person were to touch something Tameh in the Beis HaMikdash and then go outside the Beis HaMikdash and touch Tyrus, it will be metame those tyres, because Ein Tumas Yadayim B'Mikdash is a statement about the Yadayim's ability to be metame other things, not a statement about the Yadayim's ability to receive Tuma from elsewhere. So the Chazon Ish, Masechet Yadayim, Simen Zayin, Sifkot and Yud Daled, actually says that this Gemara would be a makar for the Shitas Rambam. Because according to the Rambam, even though Ein Tumas Yadayim B'Mikdash, it does not cover a case like our Gemara, in which the person is touching the Davar Atame in the Beis HaMikdash. There the Rambam says there is Tumas Yadayim. The Rambam only says that there's no Tumas Yadayim to give Tumah to other things in the Mikdash. Now, if we would learn our Gemara like the Rabbeinu Chananu, who says that the reason why they were geyser is mishum chashadei kahuna shelo yichashtu hanegeya boy kilo achle noga boy. We don't want kahanim touching pigle because we're afraid that people are going to be choshed this kayin, that the reason why he's touching the pigle is in order to eat the pigle. So then we could say that the gzeira applies to a case in which the kayin takes pigle of Kachim Kalim in the rest of Yerushalayim, not inside the Beis HaMikdash, not in the Azara, and then we could say that there's still Tumas Yadayim. But Rashi sounds like he understands that the Chshad of Kahuna is that we're worried that the Kain is going to be Mefagel the Karban, and they were Goyzer on the Pigel. She Yitameh Se Yadayim Kidei She Yehezet Tzorech Lahatbol Yodav Koidim She Yiga BeKoidish, which sounds like what he means to say is that the Kain who's being Mefagel the Karban, as he's doing so, he has to worry about the fact that his Yadayim are going to become Tamei. Now that has to be taking place in the Beis HaMikdash, because the only time that it could be Mefagel is during one of the Dalet Avoides. Rashi is anyway difficult to understand, because most of the time that you're doing the Dalet Avoides, you're not necessarily coming in contact with the carbon. The Shechita, you're touching a knife. The Kabbalah, you're being Mekabel the Dam. Halacha, you're being Moilich the Dam. And the Izrik, you're being Zoyrik the Dam. So how is the Pigel being Mitami, the Adayim of the person that's being Mefagel it? Unless we say that the Dam is also part of this Gzeira, that it's Mitami Se Adayim. Even if we say that, I mean, why would his Yadayim become Tummy? He doesn't really touch the Dam, he's holding a Kli. So it's Tzarech Ian how Rashi himself really learns this Gzeira. Aside from the discussion about the Tam of the Din Yadayim, the Tumas Yadayim, that they were Geyser and Pigel and Noiser, the Gemara also records that there's a Machloikis, what the Shear is. One Mandiyomer says Kezayis, the other Mandiyomer says Kebeitza. The Gemara explains that the Mandiyomer says Kezayis, that's Keisure, because the Isser of Noiser and Pigel is Bekezayis. Mandamasti Kebeitza Ketumose. The Din of Tumas Oichlin is Bekebeitza. What is the Hezber and the Machloikis as to whether the Din Tumas Yadayim is dependent on Keisure or Ketumose? So it would seem that it's a fundamental machloikis how to understand the gether of the Din Tumas Yadayim that they were Goyzer on Pigel and Noiser. The Mandiyomer who says Kibetza holds that this is like a regular Din of Tumas Oichlin. Even though it wasn't Nitma, like Tumas Oichlin usually requires something to be Metame it, over here Chazal were Goyzer Tumah on it. But it's no different than had something touched it and made it Tame, it has to have the shear of Kibetza. So what they did, according to this Mandiyomer, is they took the regular Din Tumas Oichlin and they broadened it to all cases. Masha'en Kain, the Mandiyomer says Kezayis, holds that it's dependent on Isurai. Obviously, he holds that this isn't a Tumas Oichlin Bechlal. This is a new Tumah Mechudeshes that Chazal were Goyzer on the Heftza of Pigel and Noiser. And since the Heftza of the Isser of Pigel and Noiser exists with the Kezayis, Chazal were capable of being Goyzer Tumah in that case. Lamashal, we know that the Din Tumas Yadayim extends itself to things that are not even edible. If there's a halacha that Kisvei HaKodesh are Metameh Yadayim. If it's called Kisvei HaKodesh, if it has a Shem Kisvei HaKodesh, it's Metameh Yadayim. So too here, if it has a Shem Noiser or a Shem Pigel, it will be Metameh Yadayim. The Shem Noiser and Pigel exists because Zayas. This may have other nafkaminas. For example, there is a halacha in Tumas Oichlin called Yad. If something is a stem, or it is like a bone that has meat that's tummy on it, and the bone you use to hold on to the meat, that's a yad. A yad is capable of being mevi asatuma. If you touch the yad, it brings tuma onto the thing that's touching it. Generally speaking, that's a rule in Tumas Eichlin. So if this halacha is a regular din of Tumas Eichlin, it's just that they broadened the din of Tumas Eichlin by Pigel and Noiser to cases where it wasn't touched by Tumah, then it would have the din Yad as well. Masha Enkein, if it's a new Tumah Mechudeshes that they said that something like Pigel and Noiser is Metameh Asiyadayim, just like Kisvei HaKadosh are Metameh Asiyadayim, Lav Dafka would it have a din Yad. The Gemara's maskana is that when a person takes out basar from Michabur Lechabura by a carbon Pesach, although there is a psul yoytze, it's usher to eat that basar. However, there is no tumas yadayim. The shaila that the Gemara has is only by shar kodshim. By old kodshim where there is a psul yoytze, there's a chshash that perhaps the person is not going to be careful about the iser yoytze, and therefore to encourage him to be careful about the iser yoytze, perhaps there were goyzer tuma on the yadayim, just like there were goyzer tuma on the yadayim of a person who touches noiser. But by the Karban Pesach, we don't have to encourage anybody because b'nei chabura zrizenhein, u'mizr zahiri, they're careful. Kiva Eger says, in our sugya, that although the Gemara's maskana is that when you leave the chabura, there is no tumas yadayim, nevertheless, if you were to take the basar of the Karban Pesach outside Yerushalayim, there would be tumas yadayim, because it's no different than all other kachim, that according to the Tzad and the Gemara, that there is tumas yadayim, there's going to be tumas yadayim when you leave Yerushalayim, because that's its mechitza legabi kachim. And even though the B'nei Chabura are Zrizim, so we know that they're not going to take it outside of their Chabura, so certainly they're not going to take it outside Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is also outside their Chabura. Nevertheless, since bringing it outside Yerushalayim constitutes in a regular psul of Yoytze, that's universal to all Kodshim, there's Loi Pluk, and we say that there's going to be a psul, and therefore Tumas Yadayim, when you take it outside Yerushalayim. In the Chedushei HaGrach al HaShas, Simon Lamed Zayin, they bring a svara from the Briska Rav to argue on this. And that is that since the Torah was mechadish by a Karban Pesach, that its mechitza is the chabura in which you're eating it, and when you take it out of that chabura, as we see in our sugya, it does become usser. It doesn't have the tumah of yadayim, but it's usser midin yoytzei. And at that point, when it's usser midin yoytzei, it doesn't get the tumas yadayim. You cannot now go and create a new iser yoytzei by taking it out of Yerushalayim, because we already removed it from its mechitzas. There are no two sets of mechitzas legabe a given carbon. So he understands that nothing is added by removing it from Yerushalayim. It's outside its mechitzas. Once it leaves its mechitzas, it has the psul yoytzei. That psul yoytzei doesn't generate tumas yadayim. Now nothing is going to change when it leaves Yerushalayim. Now, this is a very surprising thing, especially for the Briska Rav to say, because the Briska Rav himself, in that piece, and more Barachava in the Grizal Rambam, Hilchos Psulei HaMekdashim, explains that there is a difference between the Teres Mechitzis that are Negeya, the Basar that's inside a Chabura, and the Din Mechitza that's Negeya all Kodshim. He even is Medayik from the Rambam that those two things are learnt out from separate Psukim. There's one Pasuk of Basar Basada Trefa Loi Seichelu, which is an Isser Achila for anything that leaves its Mechitzas of Achila. And that's something that's not necessarily Negeya Kodshim. You find, l'moshel, if an animal is pregnant and the uber sticks out its hand, that hand, even when it brings it back into the mother's body, it still remains usser, and the reason why it's usser is because of this pasuk, u'basar basara trefa lo yisechelu. You see, says the Briska Rav, that the din of u'basar basara trefa lo yisechelu, which includes somebody who takes basar outside the chabura, and includes this case of the animal sticking out its hand, is a din. That any time something leaves its mechitzas shel achila, it remains usser. There's another pasuk, Hein Lehuva Esdama Elakodesh Pnima, that we learn out a psul yoytze for kachim. It's a kachim dikadin that says that whenever kachim leaves their mechitzas, they become pasul. And that's a halacha that's not necessarily negeh something that you eat. Lemoshel, emurim also become pasul b'yoytze. So it's a psul. It's a psul yoytze. Emurim you don't eat. It's brought on the mizbech. Nevertheless, when it goes outside its mechitzas, it gets pasul b'yoytze. Says the Briska Rav that the din of a basar shel pesach that leaves the chabura is only learned out from ubasar basara trefa lo yisechelu lefi shitas Rambam, and not from the din of penima, which is a din in all of kachim. And in order for it to get the regular psul yoytze, it would have to leave Yerushalayim. So it's very surprising that the Briska Rav himself would say that we can't assign two mechitzas to a given carbon, because for carbon Pesach, we can say that the mechitzas that are negeya, the din of u'basar basara trefa lo yisechelu, have to do with the mechitzas of the chabura, but after it leaves those mechitzas, it's still possible to then go and become nifsal b'yotze mitzad its regular kachim dikadin. And that's obviously how Rabbi Kiveger saw it, that it's possible to passel the carbon even after it left the mechitzas that give it the din of basar v'sar trev l'sechelu. It seems from this piece in the Brisker Rav, though, that he understands that although these are two separate halachas, one is built on an iser to consume something that left its makam achila, and the other is a psul yoitze, a kachim tika halacha. Nevertheless, both dinim are built on one fundamental question, and that is, what are the mechitzas of this thing? That question has two nafkaminas. As a nafkamina legabi basar basar leisechelu, and as a nafkamina legabi the psul yoitze of kachim. But it's one objective question, what are the mechitzas of this thing? And the Brisker Rav says you don't have two mechitzas to a given thing. Although our Gemara comes out l'maskana that there is no Tumas Yadayim by the Karban Pesach, but it is poshet from the Shakvatari of the Gemara that there is a psul. When you take a piece of the basar, the Karban Pesach, outside its chabura, so then it becomes posel. Now we can clear what is the siba for that psul. What makes it posel? Is the psul a product of the lav, of the iser that you were over of taking the Pesach out of the chabura? Or does it become pasul because it left the mechitzas? Like we already mentioned, that there is a din that when something leaves its mechitzas, basar basar treif alay sechelu, that anything that leaves its mechitzas shalachila, it becomes asar ba'achila. And there's a very simple nafkamina. The Gemara is mavur over here on Amud Beis. Amr Ab Ami, Hamoitzi Basar Pesach Michabur Lachabur Einechayv Achianiach until he does Hanacha. You have to do Hanacha because you learn it out from Haitzah that it says by Shabbos. Haitzah Sibeke Shabbos, Ma Shabbos had the Ovet Akira Vehanacha. Shabbos, you're only Chayv for Haitzah if you do an Akira in one Rishus and you do Hanacha in a new Rishus. The same thing would hold true by being Moitzi Basar Pesach Michabur Lachabur. You have to do a Hanacha in the new place. So now let's ask, is a person who is Moitzi it and did not yet do a Hanacha, does he passel now the Pesach? What happens if he goes and puts it back in the original Chabura? So he never did a Hanacha in the new place, but it left the Mokim that it was supposed to be in. Does it become Pasul? If you learn that the Psul is a product of having left its Mokim where it's supposed to be Nechal, then it would Pasul it. If you learn that it's a product of being over the Isser you weren't over. This seems to be a Machloikis between the Tzlach and the Mechas Chinuch. The Tzlach says that although you need a Akira and Hanacha, that's only in order to be over the Lav. But the Basar would become Nesar v'Nifsal as soon as you take it out of the Chabura that it's in, or the Bias that it's in. However, the Mechas Chinuch argues on him, and Mechas Chinuch mitzvah tezvav, he says that it has to be that the psul only comes when you are over the iser. Because if it becomes nifsal as soon as it leaves the chabura that it's in, before you actually do hanacha, and before you're actually over the iser, then you shouldn't really be over the iser at the time you do hanacha, because at that point it's already considered a pasul karban pesach, and a pasul karban pesach doesn't have an iser of leisaitzim and abasim and abayis chutzah. The Chelkus Yoyev is miyashiv this kasha that the Mechitz Chinuch is asking on the tzlach. He says, he brings a mashal from the case of an oinus. Tosfos says in Yevamos Nafnun Tes that although a person is not chayev to pay a knas if he's ma'anis a girl who's not a psula, so theoretically one can ask, since you're not chayev a knas until gemar bia, as soon as the person does the beginning of the bia, she already becomes a non-basula. So how could you ever be chayev knas? You're only chayev knas at the gemar bia. At that point, she's already not a basula, and you're only chayev for being ma'anis a basula. The Teretz is that behachi chayev rachmona. That is what the Torah meant when it said you're chayev a knas. There's no other way to be chayev a knas for being ma'anis a basula. You're being ma'anis a basula by going through the motions of the getchilas bia, making your ois basula, and then finishing off the bia, the gemar bia, that's when you're chayv a knas. So it doesn't really bother us that in the middle she became a non-basula. The entire act is one long act that's mechayv you a knas. So too over here, although in the middle of your maisa hitzah it became pasul, it doesn't make a difference because the iser is gufa, taking it out, and part of that act involves making a pasul in the middle. Certainly from the Rambam that we mentioned earlier that learns that the iser is learnt out from Mubasar Basar Trefa Leisechelu, and as we explained al Pida Briskero, that that's a halacha that as soon as something leaves its mechitza shel achila, that's when it becomes aser b'achila, it would seem that it has absolutely nothing to do with being over the lav, and like the sheet of the tzlach, that it's not dependent on whether you were over the lav or you did a hanacha or not, it's dependent on having left the mechitza shel achila. However, the Menchas Chinuch's understanding is that there really are no mechitza shel achila that the Torah gave for a Karban Pesach, and he speaks this out. He says the Torah gave an iser to leave the chabura. Mechitzas that a Karban has is a hakpada that it be in a certain place. Over here, the Torah wasn't makbid that the carbon be in a certain place, because you could eat it in the entire Yerushalayim. What the Torah was makbid on is that you shouldn't do the maisa, the pu'ula of Haitzah. And he goes so far as to say that if a person does an akira, he takes it out of this chabura, goes into a different chabura, and does not yet do a anacha, and goes back, he never took it to a place where it wasn't supposed to be. So we have a fundamental machloikis whether the din of loisoitzi min habayis, min habasar chutza, is a halacha that the Torah was defining a certain place where we want the basar to be and to remain, or it's only an iser on the pu'ula of haitzah. And of course, what stems from that machloikis is the question as to whether you need to be over the iser in order to passel it, or the psul can exist independently of the iser because you violated the mechitzis, the makam where it was supposed to remain. The Mishnah is discussing an Eivah Shiyotze Miktsosei and what you do with it. And therefore the Mishnah explains to us what is considered inside Yerushalayim, what's considered outside Yerushalayim. It says, Min ha'agaf v'lefnim kilefnim, min ha'agaf lachutz kilachutz. The agaf is a doorpost, like Rashi explains, makam hanakisha, the place that the door bangs on when you close it. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, v'chein l'tfila. The same rule applies to tefillah. Rashi learns that what this means is that somebody who's standing min ha'agav lefnim is mitztaref to a minyan of asara. Somebody who's standing outside ha'im chutz lepesach ein mitztaref. Tosfos in Dibra Mascha v'chein l'tfila brings Rashi and argues, because they say that our Gemara that says v'chein l'tfila according to Yehuda Merav says afterwards u'pligu de Rabbi Shurban Levi da'am Rabbi Shurban Levi afilu mechitza shal barzel einam afsekes ben yisrael avim shebashamayim. So that although Rabbi Yehuda Merav says v'chein l'tfila, which means that if somebody is min ha'aga v'lachutz is considered kelachutz, that's in disagreement with Rabbi Shurban Levi, who says afilu mechitza shal barzel is not mafsek between yisrael avim shebashamayim. Says that in the Gemara in Saita it's mavur that the halach is like Rav Shurban Levi. Nevertheless, we also know that in Perkol Gagais it says, there's a stam of the Gemara that says, Mechitzim afsekes letziruf, that if you have a minyan which is not comprised of 10 people who are in one place, rather part of the minyan is on the other side of a mechitza, you can't be mitzaref the two groups to one minyan. Now, if the din of Rabbi Yehuda Merav was le'inyan tziruf, was le'inyan b'mitzarif people to a minyan, and Rabbi Shimon Levi argues on that, and we paskin Rabbi Shimon Levi, so why is it that we paskin in Erevin, in Perikol Gagas, that you cannot be mitzarif people who are on two sides of a mechitza? So Tosfos learns a different pshat in our Gemara. V'chein l'tfila means that in order for a person to answer Kedusha, or Yehesh Me Rabba Mavarach, that, according to Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, you have to be Mina Agav Lefnim, and according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, there's no Mechitza. A person who's even on the other side of a Mechitza can answer Yehesh Me Rabba and Kedusha. Now, how can we defend Rashi from Tosfos's Kasha? I mean, Tosfos has a valid taina. According to what it would come out in our sugi, if you pass him like Rabbi Shurban Levi, then a person's mitzarif to the minyan, even if he's on the other side of a mechitza, and we know from the Gemara in Erevin that that's not true. So I think that Rashi would respond by saying that of course we know that if a person is in an entirely different room, he's not in the same place as the rest of the minyan, he cannot be mitzarif to the minyan. And that you don't even need the yisoid of min ha'agav v'lachutz k'lachutz, and even Rabbi Shurban Levi would agree, if you're not in the same place, you cannot be mitzarif to a minyan. Our whole discussion is that if a person is in the halal of the doorway, and he's past the point where the door closes, he's not considered mitztarif to the minyan according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, and that's because the fact that the door can close on him is called a stima. The door is enough to say that the chalal ha-pesach is unlike the rest of the chaloines and ovi achayma that it says in the end of the Mishnah that you're neither in kilifnim. We know that any time a person is in the thickness of the walls, that's considered like he's inside the reshus that the wall is being makif. The doorway should be the same thing. Since he's in the halal of the doorway, he should be considered like he's inside the reshus. Our Mishnah, however, is mechadish that if you're min ha'agav lachutz, you're nida in kilachutz, even though you're in the halal of the doorway. Because the fact that we could close the door on you makes it look like you're not really part of the same reshus that's on the inside. So that's why Rashi in Dibra Maschal Enim Afsekes, when he's explaining Rabbi Shur ben Levi, he says that a mechid shal basal is not afsekes, meaning, even though there's a stimas ha-pesach, there's a closing up of a doorway, but as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, we don't look at it that way, because he knows that the person is inside the halal ha-pesach. Once the person is inside the halal ha-pesach, he's considered as being part of the reshus that the rest of the minyan is in. So therefore, it's no longer shver, the kasha that Tosfos asks from the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara over there is talking about where somebody is in an entirely different reshus than the place where the rest of the minyan is.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. We need your help to continue our mission. To find out about dedication opportunities, visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.